Good morning once again, Lord. That was quite an appropriate hymn for what I've got to say, really, that we do have to trust in Christ completely in what we do every day. And the title of this one is It Depends on Him and Not Us. Reported recently is a fungal disease that has crept up on us termed as ash dieback disease. And similarly, in some respects, to Dutch elm disease, which devastated some of our woodlands in earlier years. These attacks have a serious effect on their growth and in perhaps hostile environments. Similarly, we live in an increasingly hostile environment, which may have a negative effect on all of our own growth. One mental aberration we need to avoid, which we may tune into, is the sometimes disturbing thought of our own inability to make it into God's kingdom. It can be a pernicious disease that affects all of us when things seem to be going wrong against us. It is a legalistic view of what we think is demanded of us, performance-oriented achievement. At times, we all forget what God has done for us. It's not what we have achieved, but what he has achieved for us. It is in fact the core of the gospel message, which is encapsulated in a verse from the book of John and in verse 16. I have taken this from the New King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but having everlasting life. There, in a nutshell, is proclaimed the gospel message. We can read this verse and still have a nagging doubt that we must add to it somehow. There must be something we can do. But our part is to believe what God tells us. But we may still tend to insure against the failure by relying on our own works. The Apostle Paul tells us of this, of his battle in this regard in Romans chapter 7 and in verses 14 to 25. And this is quite a lengthy string of verses, so bear with me. He tells us that law cannot save us from sin. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. I think we can identify with that. If then I do what I will not do, so I agree with the law, and that is good. But now it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I think we can all identify with Paul's struggle and have that same feeling sometimes that he refers to. O wretched person that I am. The faith we thought we had, perhaps due to adverse circumstances, fades away and we question, where is God in all of this? It is then we need to remember ourselves where faith comes from. And this is clearly explained in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. It is not anything we have done that classifies us to be saved. A legalistic approach is of no avail. That is why we may feel down when our efforts to solve a problem may come to nothing. The faith we need is gifted to us by God to support us when everything seems to be going against us. Contrary to what we might think, that it depends upon our efforts to solve our problems, we become chastened by what is said in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The works that we do that can represent him have been prepared for us beforehand by the indwelling Spirit of God. That gives us the faith. He then receives the glory, not us. Some of the notable characters referred to in the Old Testament failed to give the glory to God for the way they had been blessed. There's one example we can take, and that's the example of King Nebuchadnezzar, referred to in the book of Daniel. The account can be found in chapter 4. He had been blessed greatly by God, but had developed the attitude that he deserved recognition for his efforts of achievement. There are many scriptures to go into, so I'll try and give the account a brief overview. Apparently, he had a troublesome dream, which he called on Daniel to interpret. He saw in that dream a large tree that reached up to heaven and provided sustenance for all. That tree was to be cut down, leaving a stump and roots in the earth. It was indicated to him that the tree symbolized him, and that he would have to live like a beast for 7 years. Why was this done? Let us refer to Daniel chapter 4 and in verse 17. Daniel chapter 4 and in verse 17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the Holy Ones, in order that the living may know, that's us, the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of heaven, gives it to whomever he wills, and sets over it the last of men. Daniel then explains to the king that he is the one referred to in the dream. But even after 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar still failed to give glory to God for his blessings, and the curse fell upon him. He lived as a beast for 7 years. This is an extreme example of an individual failing to understand where our strength comes from. We, as a called people of God, have been drafted into a new covenant, which doesn't depend on how we respond to required works. I have found recently, from comments received from my own family members, that their view of God is tainted by what they see as an impossible task to comply obediently to all in all respects. And they are right, of course. Introduction to the new covenant has taught us to rely on what he can do for us and not what we can do for him. Not that there was any fault in the old covenant. A fault was found to be in the chosen people. Because of the fault found in them, they had to be exposed to blessings and cursings listed in Deuteronomy. However, they were promised that Jesus Christ would come to this earth as fully human and fully divine, and in him we will be blessed. We can read that in Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 15. Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 15. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And a warning comes in verse 19. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. The words that Jesus Christ speaks to us in the New Testament scriptures are the words given to him by the Father whom he represents. It's through him we go to God, as you know. The works that Christ performed were generated by the Father who dwelt in him. And we reread that in John chapter 14 and in verse 10. John chapter 14 and in verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. If that is true for Jesus Christ, it certainly applies to us. This feeling that we may or experience now and again is mostly due to dependence on self-effort. Failure to achieve the standards we think are expected of us. This can manifest itself in many ways, especially when we are suffering or our loved ones are suffering during a trial. We may think, why me? What have I done? Or my family done to deserve this? And we may pray about it and things seem to get worse. But what does the Apostle James say about it? And this can be hard to understand. It's in the first chapter and in verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1 in verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, or as it says in the margin, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. Maybe it is not something we have done that has caused whatever particular trial we are or our family are going through, that we may have let down somehow and are suffering the consequences. It depends on what God is achieving in us, not what we are trying to achieve by our own efforts. But nevertheless, it's hard to be joyful during that experience. So in summary, we may all be affected by the creeping disease of self-doubt that we may not be able to make it into God's kingdom. It can be due to the legalistic thoughts that sometimes haunt all of us, that we have done something wrong and failed to measure up to required standards of behaviour. Remember what one of the thieves on the cross next to Jesus said. This man has done nothing wrong. And then the Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because of his turning towards and believing in him, from that moment on he was assured that he would be with Christ in paradise. We have done likewise and all slip up occasionally. We have repented and we've turned towards God. We have believed and accepted Jesus Christ as our Saviour. We must always remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Suffered no wrongdoing, but shed his blood to wash away all of our sins, both past, present and future. And through our belief in him, we will make it into his kingdom. Yes, sometimes we do suffer for no wrongdoing on our part, but our final reward is great and the glory goes to God. So let's close by reading John 3 and verse 16 again. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. As far as God is concerned, it is a done deal and it's in the past tense. There in a nutshell is proclaimed the gospel message. Remember, however, it depends on him and not on us. Our belief and trust in him is what matters. He will be honoured by the works we do, relying on his strength, producing them in us. So if you just bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all of us. And as Richard was saying earlier to us, the Better Remembrance Day, that death has been conquered by Jesus Christ for all mankind. And that we have complete faith and trust in him. Help us always remember this when we have problems in our lives, Father, to trust you, and we know that the outcome will be a blessing on us. So we just give you thanks, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Tony.